ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around telling him he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span, and this is episode number 93. 93 of the report. Yeah, man. We're coming up close to that 100th episode. Coming up close. It's been a long damn time coming. But yeah, man, we're inching closer and closer to 100 episodes of the Span Report Podcast. And I thank everybody for listening. I thank everybody for watching. And Yeah, man, we're going to get right into it. We got a few things to talk about today. We're going to talk about, you know what, I'm going to just get into it. I'm not going to even give you the rigmarole of the pre-discussion. We're just going to get right into it. But before we get right into the show, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spirit Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. Just a second. All right. You can call the hotline. Call the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. I will play those messages on the show, and I will respond to those messages on the show. And if you call in during the listener feedback portion of the show, you will be able to call in. We'll interact live. So call that hotline number at area code 313-288-0485. You can also email the show. The email address to the Span Report is feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me those emails. I will reply to those emails, and I'll read those emails right here on the show as well. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter and or Instagram, my name on both of those platforms, of course, is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me on both of those platforms. You can also go to Facebook and like the Mr. Span fan page. So go to Mr. Span on Facebook, like the fan page, follow me on Twitter and Instagram, Mr_Span. Also, send me those Ass Hat of the Week submissions. We got a couple more this week. Asshat@thespanreport.com. That's where you send those Ass Hat of the Week submissions. Get me those. We will clown these people right here on the show. We will talk about why the fuck they're so stupid. We will do that right here on the show, man. Asshat@thespanreport.com for your Ass Hat of the Week submissions. Also, do your man a solid. iTunes and or Stitcher reviews, man, preferably 5 stars. I'll read those 5-star reviews from iTunes and Stitcher here on the show. I will thank you. And again, it's yet another way to help the show grow. You don't have to put in on it. It's just your way of saying thank you for putting out the podcast and everything else. If you enjoy the show, right, let people know what you're thinking about it and help spread the word. It's very much appreciated here, and it doesn't cost you anything, man. And for all of your Span Report needs, go to www.thespanreport.com. That's www.thespanreport.com. And get all your podcast needs there, man. Get all the old episodes for the show, like the entire catalog. All 93 episodes are available on thespanreport.com. All the guest appearances that I made on other shows are available there. You can also check out some of my casual conversation interviews that I've done back in the past for the podcast. Everything's available at thespanreport.com. Go there, vote in the polls as well. We had some polls. We had a poll last week that I simply forgot to mention. I just simply forgot to mention it, and people actually did go to the website and vote in the poll. So, yeah, man, go to thespanreport.com. It's your one-stop shop for everything Span Report related. It is very much appreciated that you go there and interact. I got a couple comments on that website that we're going to get back to on the listener feedback portion of today's show. So, yeah, man, go to thespanreport.com and get your feedback in that way as well. Yeah, man. Yeah. You know, like over the course of the week, man, I live in Michigan or whatever, and we've actually had a really, really mild fall so far, right? And I'm hopeful that we'll have a really mild winter, because the last couple winters have been really brutal. Like, you know, and I work outside. I work outside. So if we are able to have a relatively mild winter, I am all for it. I'm not a fan of the snow as I used to be when I was a kid. You know, when you were a kid, you get to stay at home and you have snow days and shit. When you got to go out to work, man, you don't get a snow day. Your ass is you're the person who has to move that snow around to get what you need to do done. So, yeah, man, we've been having a really, really mild fall, so to speak. And, you know, we've been getting the work done, you know, pumping those numbers out and whatnot. And your man Span kind of hurt his back. I'm sitting up here right now wearing a Thermacare heat wrap right now. And God bless the inventors of the Thermacare heat wrap. God bless the inventors of the Advil liquid gels. And God bless my wife, man, because yesterday it was not a good thing, man. I didn't even know if I was going to be able to do the show yesterday. I was thinking about it like I might not be able to do it because my back was killing me. I could barely stand up. Like, lower back pain is the devil, real talk, man. For anybody who's ever dealt with lower back pain, you know it's nothing to really fuck with. You know it's nothing to fuck with. And it can be very debilitating, so to speak. So I had to take the day off yesterday. I didn't go to work yesterday because it was just that bad. And it was work-related. You know, I was trying to get a bell pack. If, you know, I don't know how many of you guys are actually familiar with pipe fitter terminology and everything else, but we had to put a bell pack on the main, and a bell pack is what we use to kind of repair damages to the main or whatnot. And it's used, I think a bell pack, it weighs maybe about 150 pounds, and I took that boy off the stock truck by myself. And that's what I probably shouldn't have done. Right? So yeah, man. Yeah, your man Span is suffering with a little bit of back pain, but we're gonna get through this. And I feel a little bit better today, right? But you know, one of the things too that I was one of the things I kinda wanted to talk to you guys about today is you know, the first of the month kinda went and came and went and whatnot. You know, that's usually around a time where you're paying bills, right? And sometimes you pay bills over the phone. I pay a lot of my bills online. And, you know, my T-Mobile bill was a little bit high, right? So I had, you know, usually I'll just go ahead and pay the bill online, but I needed to talk to somebody about why the fuck my bill was damn near $300. Now, I know I got like three phones with unlimited stuff, and I got phones that I like, I'm kind of leasing and stuff like that. So I'm like, all right, I still got to figure out why is my bill damn near $300 this month, right? So what I did was I called T-Mobile. And one of the things about calling a corporation when you're trying to handle some business is that most of them have all, they've all gone to automated services, right? So the minute you get, you call the, you know, you call the whether it be T-Mobile or Verizon or Comcast or whomever else it is, you'll get this automated system, right? And you'll start punching numbers to try to hurry up and get, you know, to who you need to get to, right? So I call T-Mobile, and here, you know what? Here's how it goes. I call T-Mobile, and it goes like this, like. Hi, and welcome to T-Mobile. Your call is very important to us. Please stay on hold as your call, as our operators are assisting other callers. Please hold, and your call will be answered in the order in which it was received. Your call is very important to us, and thank you for your patience. Our operators are still assisting other callers. Please hold, and your call will be answered in the order in which it was received. Are you still holding? We can't believe you're here. Well, please still hold, and your call will be answered in the order in which it was received. And the whole time you're sitting there, and you're like, hold up, I've heard this shit before. How come all of these damn hold, how come all the hold music on these caller, on these things sound like old porn music, right? Like, that's from Debbie Does Dallas. I've heard that shit on, like, Comcast. I've heard it on T-Mobile. I've heard it on AT&T. Like, all of their old music, like, the whole music that they use sounds like old 70s porn music. Has anybody ever picked that shit up other than me? Real talk. And they'll just continue to say, hey, your call will be answered in the order in which it was received. You look up and you've been on hold for 40 goddamn minutes and no one's answered your question at all. And really, they're just trying to get you to go back to the website. Just go ahead and pay that money. But yeah, man. Yeah, man. And they always want you to take a survey. Right? They always want you to take that young survey to tell them how they did. It's like, motherfucker, I've been on hold for half an hour. I could have been done with this shit already. But yeah, man. They've been pumping porn music into our hold times for a long time. I don't know if I'm the only one to pick that up, but that's what's been going on, man. Real talk. yeah, man. You know what? Another thing, too, that I kind of wanted to speak to a little bit. How many of you guys use TimeHop? You know, I know it's an app that kind of aggregates your old status updates or your old Instagram updates, your old tweets and stuff like that. And it brings them all together and they'll say, well, this time on this day 4 years ago, you said this, or in this time 4 years ago, you posted this picture and stuff like that. And I think it's kind of cool because I think Facebook has actually has incorporated something similar to that. They call it Facebook Memories, and it'll bring up some of your old you know, picture post or some of your old status updates and everything else. And I think it's kind of cool, man. Real talk. I think, you know, we kind of document everything nowadays anyway, but I think sometimes it could be really cool in a way to kind of show growth, right? It's a way to show, like, maybe you've grown up a little bit, or maybe you probably still doing the same shit you was doing 4 or 5 years ago, but it's still kind of cool to kind of look back on some of those things and see how far you may have come. Right. So, earlier this week, I got a Facebook memory reminder that I posted a picture of Big Blue, right? Now, I know a lot of you don't know who Big Blue is. Now, Big Blue was this truck that I used to have. It was an 89 Ford F-150, right? Piece of shit truck. Piece of shit truck. Like, I bought it on one of my last days, like, one of my last weeks where I was working for an airline, and I needed some transportation. Here in Detroit, like, if you don't have a car, if you don't have reliable transportation, you just pretty much asked out to have to depend on mass transit here. So I bought that truck, $200. It had a hole in the floor when I bought it. It needed a relay switch when I bought it, and I got it, you know, but it was $200, right? And so I got that truck. As a matter of fact, the first day I drove that truck to work, that's the day I got fired from that airline, because I was, you know, I had been late the previous day because I couldn't get a ride, right? That's what happened. So, you know, Facebook went on ahead and they put up the, you know, the memory of, like, this truck or whatever. And I was thinking about that truck, man, because, like I said, I paid $200 for Big Blue, right? And I was, it came at a time where I sorely needed it. That truck came at a time. It was a hoopty, but it came at a time where I sorely needed it. That truck had a hole in the floor on the driver's side to where, if you dropped anything on the floor in the truck, it was pretty much going to be in the road. Like, it was a straight up hole, air conditioning in the floor. And I used to help people move in that truck. I used to be a telemarketer wearing a suit and tie driving that truck. I'm going to have a picture up on the spanreport.com so you guys can see exactly what Big Blue looked like. It was a hoopty through and through. Like, it had no power steering, right? It had no power steering and had none of that stuff, right? But, you know, me, your man Span, kind of like a tech head, I had satellite radio in that truck at one point. I had a GPS system in that truck at one point. Because, you know, I used to do shutoffs before I was employed with the gas company. I used to do shutoffs as a contractor employee. And, you know, it was that truck kind of, you know, it gave me when they pretty much put that up there in my memories thing, it made me think back to, like, damn, like, you've come such a long way, Span. Like, to come from where you used to live and what you used to drive and the work that you used to do, you've come a long way. And it just made me, you know, real reminiscent. And you know, one of the things I think about is, like, I used to shut people off, right? And I can distinctly remember Like I used to listen to a whole bunch of satellite radio and whatnot, and sometimes I'd be listening to the Foxhole. Sometimes I'd be listening to the Shady 45 or something like that, and I'd be rolling in the truck, you know what I'm saying, laughing at either some silly shit that Corey Holcomb or Jamie Foxx or Claudia Jordan used to say, or I'll be listening to some shit like this. It ain't nothing to cut that bitch off. It ain't nothing to cut that bitch off. Link up! So what you saying, ho? You know I'm the man, ho. Nothing but a bird, I'ma leave you where you stand, ho. Heard you got a man, ho. Hope he understand, though. You ain't nothing but a creeper, baby. I'm just saying, though. Saying, though. It ain't nothing to cut that bitch off. I know that song wasn't out when I was a shut off man, but yeah, I would probably be listening to some ratchet shit like that, right? Or I'd be listening, like I said, to the Foxhole, and I'd be laughing, and I have to straighten my face up because you don't want to be laughing while you're getting ready to turn somebody's stuff off, right? And I don't want to make light of the whole thing of cutting anybody's utilities off, man. That was a thankless job. I did, you know, it wasn't something that I enjoyed as far as, you know, the effect that it had on people. I did like the fact that I was able to get home early every day, but yeah, man, I was thinking about, you know, how far I came, and that just that memory, man, it's like, yo, man, I was bitching earlier this week about some shit that happened at the job, man, where, like, they were taking bonus money away from me, and I'm thinking to myself, I had to check myself a little bit, just seeing that picture, it's like, yo, Span, dude, you bitching about bonus money right now, there was a time where you wasn't seeing nothing close to the money that you were seeing now, and so just looking at that picture of that truck and how far I've come from where I used to be and where I am now. I'm a bit thankful. I just say that I'm a bit thankful, and it kind of put a lot of things in perspective for you, man. Now, I know a whole lot of people, when they see time hop or they see Facebook memories, they're not really thinking about it on that level, but sometimes it can kind of remind you that blessings come in a way that you weren't necessarily, you wouldn't necessarily acknowledge. And that truck was a lifeline for me at a time where I really needed it, And so, yeah, man, Big Blue got me through quite a few times, man. So, yeah, shout out to Big Blue. It's in like a junkyard somewhere. But, yeah, man. I had to share that with you guys, man. Real talk. Another thing I want to talk to you guys about, man, the Chi-Raq movie is coming out. I know Spike Lee directed the movie Chi-Raq, and I know it's pretty much a play on an ancient Greek play where women wanted to end the war, so they decided to go on a sex strike, right? And so Spike has kind of adapted that play to basically put it in modern day Chicago, where the women of Chicago would go on a sex strike to end the violence that's going on there, right? And so one of the things about, you know, the Chi-Raq trailer, I know a lot of people have been up in arms about it. I know some people are a bit ambivalent to it. I'm from Chicago, so, you know, I have an interest in, you know, I have an interest in just about everything Chicago, man. If I see any type of projects that are going to be about Chicago, I'm really interested in. Same way I am about Detroit. If I see any particular projects that are going to be about Detroit, I'm pretty much interested in it just on that alone. One of the things that I know that, like, a lot of people had issue with was the fact that Spike Lee is an outsider, so to speak, right? You know, and he's got a lot of pushback from, like, some of the local politicians. I know Rahm Emanuel was giving him a lot of shit. There was a few aldermen in the city who were trying to deny him permits for, like, rallies in the city. I know Father Michael Flagler was one of the people who was I think he was working as a consultant with Spike Lee on that film. One of the characters in that film, I think Cusack, I forget the guy's first name, but Cusack's character is kind of adapted from Michael Flagler. But I know he's got a lot of pushback from some of the local politicians in the city for the name of the movie. You know, they think that it doesn't do any good as far as marketing the city. It doesn't do any good as far as tourism is concerned for the city, and it perpetuates a negative stereotype of the city. You know, you got that. And then you know, some Chicago's, you know, some Chicagoans kind of feel like because of the way that the trailer kind of portrayed the story, so to speak, that he was probably making light of what was going on in Chicago. And I know Spike spoke out about that, that he wasn't necessarily he wasn't making a comedy, that Chi-Raq wasn't a comedy, but it was more so satire. And the difference, you know, trying to explain the differences between the two. Personally, for me, I know it was a 2-minute trailer. I know a lot of times the trailers are designed to get people talking, to get you know, to get a buzz going, and he's definitely done that. But I'm going to withhold judgment on the movie Chi-Raq until I actually see it, right? And you know, there's a certain element of Chicago who does not embrace that Chi-Raq title, right? I know the Chi-Raq title comes from, you know, it's been embraced by the streets, but the funny thing about it is, the Chicago police, there was a Chicago police officer who actually compared the murder numbers in Chicago to war-torn Iraq, and that's where the Chi-Raq moniker came from. But I know a lot of people in the streets of Chi-Raq or Chicago have embraced that moniker. And you know what, that comes to be expected with the street element, though. I don't think that, you know, just like, so say for instance, when you have like here in Detroit, where an artist like Trick Trick would say that Detroit is a no fly zone, you have to come see me before you do anything in the city, you know, and people had embraced no fly zone kind of shit, right? So I think the street element is in and of itself, is independent in and of itself. Now, whether you acknowledge the street element or not is your own personal choice. To me, when I go home, I go to Chicago. I don't go to Chi-Raq. I've never called the city Chi-Raq. I know a lot of people in the city who's called the city Chi-Raq. Another thing too, that I think, and some of my friends from, you know, from back home have said this, was that, you know, they don't necessarily have a problem with the term Chi-Raq, but you know, a lot of the people that are upset about the term are, they're kind of embarrassed, right? Because it's like, you know, when someone comes to your home and you got roaches, and you don't want everybody knowing you got roaches, but now you turn the lights on, everybody know you got roaches, and the roaches are scattering and everything else, and you got company in the house and whatnot. And so they kind of compared it to, you know, that kind of shit. And I get it. You know, there can be a bit of embarrassment, so to speak. But my biggest thing for anybody who has so much to say about Chicago is to actually be familiar with the city, to be familiar with the city's politics. I got into a discussion with a man on a homie, Mr. Gates, Facebook. We were going back and forth about the Chi-Raq thing, and you know, he was talking about how black people in Chicago are hypocrites and everything else. Had never been to Chicago, isn't really familiar with Chicago politics, but he's thoroughly engrossed in what the news coming out of Chicago is. Right, everybody keeps talking about they know what they've been told about Chicago. Having never been there, this is his idea of what Chicago is and the people of Chicago. So, you know, when it comes to a movie like Chi-Raq, I'm hoping that it's not as comedic as that trailer made it out to be. But again, for somebody like myself from Chicago, from the South Side, I'm going to withhold judgment until I actually see the film, right? I'm going to actually see the film. Now, another thing too, Spike Lee is kind of on probation with me though. And I say Spike Lee is on probation with me is because he fucked up NBA 2K16, man. He straight fucked it up with that whole, the storyline, the movie that he made for 2K16. I was not feeling it. I am not feeling how he took the game out of my hands, and I had to sit up and watch this whole shit before I complete the first whole season. Yeah, man, Spike Lee, he fucked up NBA 2K16. I have not forgiven him for that shit, and he better damn well not fuck up with Chi-Raq, or it's, I'm gonna have to write this bitch ass off. Yeah, man, but, yeah, man, folks are a bit upset. Folks are a bit upset about Chi-Raq, but we got to wait and see, man. We got to wait and see. We can't necessarily just jump on or off of the bandwagon only giving 2 minutes of content to kind of judge maybe a 90-minute film off of. So if you judge it off 2 minutes of what you've seen, you probably don't know what the entire story is going to be or what it's going to be about or how it plays out overall. So, yeah, man, I'm going to withhold judgment on the movie Chi-Raq, right? But, yeah, man. Yeah, man. Moving on. Moving on. I said what I was going to start to do every week was I was going to incorporate good gun news into the Spann Report. Because, again, like I said, I am a Second Amendment proponent. I advocate for the ownership of guns for those who feel that they can actively and responsibly take on that that responsibility. And so, yeah, man, I got a couple stories for this week in good gun news. All right. Now, we got one story. Wait, hold on a second. Now my computer's buffering for whatever reason. But we got a story coming out of Fort Wayne, Indiana, where residents shot at a home invasion suspect. Let me kind of read from this here. As soon as this... All right. Now, out of Fort Wayne, it says police said that a man who was shot when breaking into an apartment Monday morning was just one of two men in a home invasion. The Fort Wayne Police Department responded around 6:15 a.m. to reports of a shooting of the 700 block of Guilford Avenue at the corner of South Wayne Avenue south of downtown. FWPD spokesperson Michael Joyner said it appeared that two men, both armed, forced their way into the upstairs apartment. He said shots were fired by at least one of those men. However, Joyner said no one in the apartment was harmed. Joyner said the home invader was shot when one of three adults in the apartment returned fire, striking one of the two men, who was found by officers suffering from multiple gunshot wounds. The individual shot that's in critical condition is one of two suspects who attempted a home invasion. The morning, the other man ran away from the scene. Police used a K-9 in an attempt to track him, but that was unsuccessful. Police are searching for him. Police described the missing man as a white male. Joyner said the shooting victim is an adult white man in his late teens. All right. Yeah. Yeah. And again, I want to make this very clear that this is why I advocate for gun ownership, not to go out and commit crime, not to go out and promote mass shootings or anything else. This is the primary reason why your man Spann is a Second Amendment proponent. But we also have another story of a home intruder who was shot while trying to break into someone's home, and they were at home. And I believe this story comes out of Charlotte. Yeah. Yeah. This story comes out of Charlotte. I'm just waiting for this to finish loading up here. I got a lot of shit going on this computer. That's probably why it's buffering so much. But let me go ahead and close this out. And maybe that will. All right. Just a second here, people. As we wait for this to load up.
K-9 officers and the CMPD helicopter all descending on this neighborhood off of Old Dowd Road right around rush hour this evening. NBC Charlotte's Sarah Hagan is joining us now live with more. Sarah?
We know at this point that there's no threat, no longer a threat to the community here, to the neighbors. We know that the suspect, one suspect, is in the hospital. The other one is in police custody. But take a look at this scene. This is what neighbors were first faced with when they got home around 3:30. Police responded to a breaking and entering with an assault with a deadly weapon call. And that's when they got here and found all this. We now know that the homeowner came home to find two suspects in his house. He confronted them, says that he fired shots. One of the suspects took off in a vehicle, the other one on foot. And the car was later found a short time on the other side of the city. The suspect had a life-threatening injury from being shot.
Uh-oh.
People, though, in this neighborhood say that this scene is just way out of the ordinary.
To see so many police cars, you know, around the neighborhood, and just when I was coming home, it was like four or five, you know, police.
Okay. Come on, come on, come on.
SUVs going in the opposite direction of me. So I knew there was something probably pretty serious going on in this neighborhood.
And police are thanking alert community members, other neighbors, for staying on top of things, bringing them information, helping them put all these pieces together. We're still, though, waiting on names and charges. We will keep you updated. In West Charlotte, Sarah Hagan, NBC Charlotte.
All right. All right. Now, yeah, man, this week in Good Gun News, two more instances of people who were able to actually use their firearms for the protection of their home, for the protection of their family, and for themselves. Yeah, man. But, yeah. You know what? It's time for our ass hat of the week submissions.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
And this week, we got a couple of ass hat submissions, man. I'm pretty sure you guys are familiar with the presidential front runner, Republican presidential front runner, Ben Carson. Now, Ben Carson has taken over Donald Trump as in the polls for the Republican nomination so far. He's pretty soft spoken, if you will, pretty soft spoken. He's really religious. I know he said a lot of crazy things. He compares a lot of things to slavery when it comes to Obamacare. He compares it to slavery. When he talks about abortion, he compares it to slavery. And it's kind of belied the gifted hands narrative of what we all kind of grew up learning about Ben Carson. I know when I grew up, when I was growing up, it was like Ben Carson's gifted hands was, was required reading, right? And so, like, to see this kind of Ben Carson that we have now is a bit jarring when you grew up and this guy was, you know, hailed as kind of a hero. So, Ben Carson, I think he knows that the Republican Party isn't necessarily that popular with African Americans in the country. And so, in his attempt to reach out to the African American community, he released this radio ad. Check this out.
Vote. Inspire. Vote, vote, revive. Vote, vote. Ben Carson, 2016. Vote and support Ben Carson for our next president to be awesome.
America became a great nation early on, not because it was flooded with politicians, but because it was flooded with people who understood the value of personal responsibility, hard work, creativity, innovation, and that's what will get us on the right track now. I'm very hopeful that I'm not the only one who's willing to pick up the baton of freedom, because freedom is not free and we must fight for it every day. Every one of us must fight for it because we're fighting for our children and the next generation.
If we want to get America back on track, we got to vote Ben Carson. A matter of fact, go out and vote.
I'm Ben Carson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Carson America.
Kill.
Hold on, I don't need a double take of that shit. Yes, indeed, man. Ben Carson went out of his way to try to appeal to black voters, man. He tried to appeal to black voters. Now, one of the things that kind of reminded me of was the, you guys remember I did a skit a long time ago. I think it was about the 411 pain line commercials, where they used a hip hop version of 411 pain. They had a country music 411 pain song. They had R&B ballad version of 411 pain. And it was about, like those ambulance chasers type of lawyers, right? If you get hurt, go ahead and call 411 pain. After you call 911, dial 411 pain. You know, that kind of shit. And it kind of reminds me of that, man. I don't really listen to terrestrial radio a lot, especially like a lot of the urban radio stations, because they kind of, you know, keep some of the same 10 songs in rotation. So I really don't listen to them. But yeah, man, this attempt to reach out is so stereotypical, and it shows just how out of reach that Ben Carson is, how disconnected Ben Carson is from his own community, right? From the African-American community, from the inner city community, that he thought that putting this out would get him anything but jokes. Would get him anything but jokes. So yeah, man, just for this ad alone, your man Ben Carson is one of this week's ass hat of the weeks.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfucker.
But again, we got another one.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
Now, The other ass hat of the week has got to go to InfoWars and Alex Jones and Kit Daniels over at the InfoWars website, right? Now, as you guys know, your man Span is a Black Lives Matter supporter. I support what they're doing. I think what the work that they're doing is very important and everything else, right? And we know that one of the biggest narratives that have come out of the whole Black Lives Matter movement has been that they're trying to paint the Black Lives Matter movement as being against police and advocating for the death of police and advocating for the executions of cops, right? And so I'm going back to around early September where we got a news story that came out about an officer in Fox Lake, Illinois, who was shot, right? And there were three suspects that the police were looking for. There were three suspects that they were looking for. And I believe the officer's name, let me see if I can pull this guy's name up, Lieutenant Charles Glenowitz. And he has later been found to have staged the entire thing, right? Lieutenant Glenowitz was embezzling money from his charity. There was going to be an audit on the where that money was going to. He actively was searching out a hitman to take out the investigator. He had found cocaine in his office, all sorts of things. This dude, he killed himself and staged it to look as if he had been taken out by three assailants, right? And so one of the things about it is like it cuts at the narrative that has been spouted, you know, that has been spouted out by a lot of right-wing leaning publications, whether that be the Washington Times, whether that be Fox News, whether that be InfoWars. Now, I know InfoWars isn't necessarily considered they probably should be, but they're more so like a conspiracy theorist kind of place, right? A lot of people go to InfoWars and get their conspiracy theories kind of shit. Alex Jones is their main guy, right? And so back on September 1st, when this story was first getting legs, when we heard about Officer Glenowitz's death, InfoWars went out of their way to try to implicate the Black Lives Matter movement into this narrative of anti-cop against cop war, right? Like there's a war against cops, and Fox News has kind of perpetuated that narrative also, that there's a war against cops, and InfoWars was instrumental in trying to perpetuate that narrative as well, especially when it came to the Black Lives Matter purported involvement in that. And so I'm going to read a bit from the InfoWars post on September 1st by, who was this, Kit Daniels, who was writing about, you know, the death of Officer Glenowitz. And so here it goes. It says, "This shooting comes only days after a Harris County, Texas deputy sheriff was executed while pumping gas, and not even a week after black radicals called for lynching whites and killing cops. And let's not forget the two New York police officers who were executed last year while sitting in their patrol car. Is the murder of the Illinois police officer another violent result of the Black Lives Matter movement, which promotes the killing of cops and encourages more racial division across the country? I think it's very fair, in light of the anti-cop rhetoric that is sweeping the United States of America, fueled by this group, some of the vulgar, vile, vicious rhetoric coming out talking about killing cops," Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark told CNN. "That's some of the nice stuff, some of the stuff I can't even say here on TV. Now, we both know, or all of us know, Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark was an asshat of the week last week. Officer David Clark was the one who said that we had eradicated police brutality. We haven't had police brutality in America since the 1960s. So you have to take his word with a grain of salt, right? But the outward attempt to try to link the Black Lives Matter movement with the death of another officer is what we find troubling here, especially knowing what we know now, right? Because we know that the Black Lives Matter movement it does not endorse the killing of officers. The Black Lives Matter movement, again, is about police accountability and combating police violence against citizens of color, right? That's what we know the Black Lives Matter movement to be about. And so for InfoWars and, by extension, Fox News and a lot of the right-wing leaning publications to kind of try to skew it that way. And we find out later that Officer Glinowitz was basically a criminal himself who was stealing money from his own charity to pay his mortgage, to pay for porn sites, to pay for a whole lot of little different things. Now, I'm not going to, as much as Officer Glinowitz would be an asshat, if he were alive, I would put him in an asshat of the week also. But that man is dead, right? But the fact that they would try to link these two, they would link the Black Lives Matter movement to this, knowing what we know now, I would actually like to see whether or not InfoWars or Fox News or David Clark or any of these people who tried to link Black Lives Matter to this case, I would like to see an apology, but I doubt that we will, right? And so because they jumped the gun and because they were so thirsty to try to link the Black Lives Matter movement to this fuckery here, InfoWars, Alex Jones, and Kit Daniels, you are a SPAN report asshat of the week.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Now, you know, another thing too, you know, I know last week we were talking about the Spring Hill Valley high school student who was slammed by Officer Ben Fields, the resource officer in that school, for refusing to leave the class, for refusing to put away her cell phone, right? And one of the things that I talked about last week was the fact that there were so many black guys who were talking about how much that young lady deserved what happened to her, who were doing the mental gymnastics to try to rationalize what was going on with that young lady and everything else. Now, I know we've had, you know, there have been a lot of narratives as far as like what that girl's home life had been. I know some people had said that she was an orphan, that her parents were dead. I know her father is actually locked up, that her mother had lost parental rights, and that her grandmother was taking care of her before she was put into the foster care system. And, you know, there are a lot of different things where, you know, a person that young could probably, they could have some emotional issues going on. And, you know, one of the things that I really, really wanted to do this week was I wanted to speak about, you know, the effect that, you know, being a teacher and teaching out of love has on a student, right? You know, I come from, you know, a school. I went to Cooley High School here in Detroit. Wasn't exactly the most safe. It wasn't exactly the safest school in the world, right? It was always some shit going on in Cooley. Cooley had a reputation for being a pretty bad school. When I moved from Detroit and I moved back home to Chicago, I went to Olive Harvey Middle College, right? Now, Olive Harvey Middle College was it was an alternative high school, right? Now, I know a lot of people, when they think about alternative high schools, they think that's where all the bad kids go, right? That's where people who couldn't cut it in regular high school, that's where they go and everything else, you know? And to a large degree, some of that is correct, right? There was quite a few students who went to Olive Harvey Middle College because they had dropped out of their old schools because they were having problems in those old schools, and they went to Olive Harvey Middle College to kind of finish up school, pretty much. You know, I got a high school diploma out of Olive Harvey Middle College. I also have a GED, right? Your man Span got a GED too. I had to get a GED as part of my graduation requirement at Olive Harvey Middle College, right? But Olive Harvey Middle College had a way of taking kids who some would deem unteachable and make them college ready, right? I got a few friends right now that teach at that school to this day, right? Now, what I really wanted to do, I wanted to get Mrs. Hawkins or one of my favorite teachers, Mr. Jones, or Mrs. Webb. If you knew these people, they could give you so much insight on what it was to teach kids who other people would have deemed problem students, right? And I remember I spoke on, shout out to the homie, Be Honest over at the No Nonsense Show, man. I remember he spoke a little bit about his experience being a teacher on Facebook, and you know, his attitude about, you know, what should have happened to the student and whatever else. And he posted a video about he posted a video of some students intimidating a substitute teacher in Chicago. As a matter of fact, it was CVS High School in Chicago. And we talked about how these kids, you know, some of these kids are bad kids and everything else. And one of the things I wanted to talk about when it comes to that was, it was interesting to me how in the aftermath of seeing the video of that young girl being slammed by that police officer in South Carolina, that we started seeing all of these videos pop up, some of them quite old, that we started seeing these old videos pop up about kids of kids behaving badly in class, and deservedly so, and doing so in such a way that they were intimidating students. I mean, they were intimidating not only just the students, but teachers and administrators as well. I know a lot of people were starting to post videos of there was a story about a kid who body slammed a principal. There was a story about the kid who picked up a desk and acted as if he was going to slam the desk on top of that substitute teacher. So we started seeing all of these different stories pop up, and it was interesting to me, like, the timing of it, right? The timing of it. And it was, again, a way, and this is how I feel about it. This was, again, a way for weak motherfuckers to sit around and talk about how that girl deserved what happened to her, right? So you will take a video of some other kids being really fucked up to justify this police officer slamming a girl in her desk as she sits there, right? I think a lot of people started conflating the two. They started putting these two together. And to a large degree, man, even some of us, we started making up scenarios in our head. We have to make up a scenario in our head to where we'll say that these kids had to be behaving so bad that it warranted that. And we'll negate what we saw. We'll have to create a scenario in our heads to justify what we saw. And what we saw was that police officer brutalizing a young woman. So, you know, one of the things I really wanted to kind of point out was, like, my experience at the middle college, man. Like, I went to Olive Harvey Middle College. It was right after my mother passed away. And I moved back to Chicago. And, you know, it wasn't that I needed to go to an alternative high school, right? It really came at a time where I came back to Chicago during the middle of a semester. And so where my aunt was trying to get me to go to either Bogan High School, she tried to get me into Simeon High School, and it found out, like, I pretty much was going to end up going to Calumet High School in Chicago. And my aunt didn't necessarily, well, she wasn't a fan of Calumet, right? So what ended up happening was, a friend of hers knew about the Olive Harvey Middle College in Chicago. He was an alumni there from 1986 when the school was founded. And he told her about the school. I tested in. I got in. And it was probably one of the best things that ever happened to me in my life. Right. I got a chance to meet some really involved, loving teachers at that school. And it was at a school where I knew some of the hardest gangsters in the city were going to that school because this is their last chance to get some form of formal education. For a lot of them, this was their last chance. A lot of schools weren't taking them in. And these same gangsters, they put away whatever beefs they had outside, and they came into school, and they were deemed scholars at this school, right? That was what we called each other, scholars. That was the culture there. You were a scholar. You were expected to go to college. That was the expectation at Olive Harvey Middle College. And we were afforded a lot of opportunities there, man. I got a chance to go to Africa. I got a chance to go to Guadalajara, Jalisco, Mexico. I got a chance to go to Paris, France. I mean, I got a chance to go on college tours, and it exposed me to a whole lot of different things that were going on outside of Chicago, outside of Detroit, outside of America. It exposed me to so many different things at a formative time in my life. And it exposed me to teachers, male teachers as well, who had a vested interest in me succeeding, and showed it to me every day, to where, you know, that's where I got an opportunity to be an extra in the film White Boys back in 98, 99. I was an extra in that movie. And that was through that school, right? It afforded me so many different opportunities, afforded so many other students who some would deem problem kids, those opportunities. And some of them got creative, man. We had poets in that school. We had playwrights in that school. We had newspaper writers in that school. We had so many different things, so many different avenues for people to express themselves. And it was on a college campus as well. It was on the campus of Olive Harvey College in Chicago. Shout out to everybody still there. Right. But it was on that college campus. So we got a chance to see that we could perform on that level as well. So I think when I see instances of what happened in South Carolina and I see how people react to what that teacher did, because a lot of what I saw was people were pushing back on the idea that that teacher was somehow at fault. And I believe that that teacher was somehow at fault, that he could have interjected when he seen shit went left. He could have definitely stood up and interjected in that way to say, hey, man, hold up. You can take her out of here, but you ain't got to do all that. For him to stand by and act as if that was normal protocol and that was okay is what people have a problem with, right? But pulling this all back is the fact that we have there are so many different ways to interact with your students. There are ways to interact with what you would deem distractions in your class. You can actually incorporate what you would deem distractions in your class to help advance your lesson plan, right? Use that technology in a way to where those kids are actively engaged. You can do that if you really love teaching. Now, I know there's a lot of people who say that they were teachers and they talk about how bad these kids are and everything else. And make no mistake, there are a lot of people who got into teaching simply because they can get their student loans paid off. They didn't get into teaching because they wanted to be a teacher all their fucking life. They got into it because they figured they can get some of this debt taken off of them. And I'm not knocking that. But if you don't have the mentality to be a teacher, and you never really wanted to be a teacher in the first place, your perspective and the way that you actively engage with those kids is going to be different. It's going to be different. And so to see the convenience of how these videos started perpetuating themselves on social media with the kids from 2011, that video that was being passed around from CVS High School was from 2011. That was a 4-year-old video. Those kids aren't even in that school anymore. Hopefully those kids were disciplined whether that be a suspension, whether that be expulsion, whether that be like, there are so many different ways to discipline those kids. Right. We don't know what happened with those kids. At least I don't know particularly right now. I'm pretty sure if anybody who's listening to this show now, you can inform me of that. I don't know what happened to those kids, but I do know that that video came from 2011. And it was convenient that right after we talk about this young girl being slammed for not wanting to leave the class, and then we start seeing these videos pop up. It was like, come on, man, you guys are perpetuating the exact same fucking narrative that those who don't fuck with you would want to say about you. Right. These kids deserve to be brutalized. And those kids, meaning your kids, deserve to be brutalized. Your kids don't deserve to be treated like a human being. Your kid doesn't deserve to be addressed in a way that takes into account what they may be dealing with. Right? Your kid deserves that. Now, I know a lot of people would never think of it that way. They would think, well, that's not my kid, so fuck them. That's not mine. But that kid over there, yeah, they deserve that. When at the end of the day, when you sit around and you talk about how that young lady deserved what happened to her, you're pretty much saying the same about your kids too, whether you would like to admit to it or not. That's just my belief, that you would actively promote the brutalization of a kid because they refuse to, you know, they refuse to get up and get out of class, right? I mean, and even with the whole thing of the kid, like the one young lady who videotaped the incident, she spoke out and she said this was wrong, and she videotaped it and she was arrested also. So now we're telling our kids not to stand up for what's right. Right? That's the message that's being sent to her as well. Don't stand up for what you believe is right, and what was happening in front of you was wrong. Don't say anything about it. And then you'll say the other kids who were sitting in that classroom were complicit or that they approved of what happened. Now, I know that there were some kids who went out and they protested and they wanted Coach Fields, because he is also a coach of their football team as well. They wanted Coach Fields back, right? But there's also the sense of, you know, when we were kids, we did a lot of dumb shit, right? We did a lot of dumb things. And a lot of times, even if you would say it was 100 kids in that particular protest, how many of you at 16, 17 would do anything to just get the fuck out of class? Oh, shit, we having a walkout? Yeah, I'm down. I don't give a fuck about Officer Ben Fields, but if we ain't got to take this goddamn math test, shit, I'm down. You know what I mean? So it's just, again, I wonder about the validity of the criticism that some of these people have for that young lady. And again, I go back into the whole thing of, I think that there's a lot of black men who are a bit impotent, and they don't want to necessarily acknowledge it, that we can't necessarily protect black women in the ways in which we're supposed to be able to protect them. And so we have to make their victimhood their fault, because we couldn't protect them, right? And so, yeah, man, I sure as hell wish I could have gotten Mrs. Hawkins here on the show, man, because she started a school in 1986 in Chicago that left a legacy of taking some of the worst kids in Chicago and making them college graduates. And, you know, if you knew Miss Hawkins, then you know that Miss Hawkins wasn't kicking nobody. Miss Hawkins wasn't about the slamming anybody down. Miss Hawkins wasn't about the brutalization of her students, man. She taught her students with love and respect. And I was fortunate enough to be a part. I was fortunate enough to be a pupil under Miss Hawkins. And yeah, man, it's one of those things, man, to where I think we kind of forget sometimes too, where, or better yet, I'll say this. I think we get a bit nostalgic, right? We get a bit nostalgic as to how we were when we were kids, right? And I think every generation tends to look at the next generation as if the next generation is so fucked up, right? Like, you'll see a meme right now where they'll talk about how, like, the kids, pop stars are wearing, like, dresses and shit like that, forgetting that, yo, man, we grew up on Prince. Prince been wearing blouses and shit like that since we were, like, since 82. This shit ain't new. You know what I mean? We have that cognitive dissonance where we start believing that we had everything great. I'm pretty sure, like, the same thing that we say about these kids now, our parents' generation was saying the same thing about us when rap music really got mainstream, right? The same way that we look at how we dress, our parents were saying the same damn things that we say about these kids now. We've become old, Chiefs. We've become old. We are those dudes. We have all become our uncles in this game, pretty much. Talking shit on the next generation, not necessarily acknowledging some of the great things this next generation are bringing up to us. And, you know, it just kind of is what it is. It's fucked up, but, yeah, man. Yeah, it's time for the listener feedback portion of the show. And I got a few, I got a couple emails here, and I got a few emails. And I got a comment on the website, ethisparentreport.com, and there's also some poll results, right? So what I'm going to first do is I'm going to read a comment from the website. And the comment says, this is from Rebecca. Okay, Rebecca writes in again. And Rebecca writes in to say, Mr. Span, I think it's become clear that you aren't all that much removed from those open carry advocates you denigrate on your show. You still advocate for people to have access to heavy artillery, and you seem to believe that having guns will solve problems. You, sir, are no different than them. How could you be so sensible about issues concerning women and, although over the top, right about calling white people into account for their inability to acknowledge their privilege in this country, and yet have such a huge blind spot about guns? Have you not heard about 9-year-old Tyshawn Lee out of Chicago who was gunned down? Does his life mean nothing if it gets in the way of you being able to keep heavy artillery in your house? What would you say to his parents if they were to ask you to put the guns down? Would you spit in their faces? Would you say it's not your problem? This doesn't have to happen, and this is all of our problem. And unless you put the guns down, you will continue to be part of the problem, no matter how much you think you are. Well,
it was at this moment where this listener knew he fucked up.
Listen, Rebecca, I'm very patient, right? I'm very patient. I have said many a time that I hate when things like that happen as much as you do. That is not what I believe the Second Amendment protects. I am not an advocate for criminalization or using guns in a criminal act. That is not what I advocate here. I am not an advocate for people to have heavy artillery. The only thing that I say is that anybody who thinks that they are able to responsibly and effectively exercise their right, as the Second Amendment gives us, they should do so to protect themselves, to protect their homes, and to protect their families. I hate what happened to that kid. Right? I do not like hearing stories like that, in much the same way that I hate hearing stories about what happened in Newtown, what happened in Oregon, what happened in Tucson, what happened in Fort Hood, what happened in Virginia. I hate hearing these stories. Right? I don't get any joy out of hearing that. And so for you to come here and pretty much kind of ignore the things that I say when I talk about why I own guns and why I believe people who want to own guns for their own protection should. For you to kind of ignore that and try to use Tyshawn Lee as a pawn in your argument, because that's pretty much what you're doing. That's what you're doing, trying to use Tyshawn Lee as a pawn in your argument. You don't give a fuck about Tyshawn Lee. I don't believe that you do. I think that you're using Tyshawn Lee as a talking point to tell me why I shouldn't be able to protect myself and my home and my family. That is why I own guns. I don't have guns out in the streets taking anybody's life. My guns haven't killed anybody. I haven't raised arms to anybody. So if his parents came to me saying to put down the guns, my guns are already down. My guns haven't been raised at anyone for the effects of killing anybody. My guns are only to protect me and mine here in my home. If you do not want to exercise that right, you are perfectly able to do so. Perfectly able to do just that. You will not dictate to me what I need to do for me and my family. You won't do that. Now, you wrote in a couple times. You wrote in a few times. And again, like I've said, I get where you're coming from. I just vehemently disagree. You can continue to write the show, but after a while, it's going to be one of those things of diminishing returns, because you, with me, you're falling on deaf ears. And I hate that you would use Tyshawn Lee as a way to try to make me feel guilty for the fact that I want to protect my family from some of the same circumstances that Tyshawn Lee and his family are going through right now. Right? I hate that you would do that. So, yeah, Rebecca, we disagree, and that's perfectly okay, but you have to get it understood that you aren't going to just misconstrue what I say when I talk about guns and gun ownership to mean that I am for things like what happened to Tyshawn Lee. You will not do that. I will not allow that here. So, I thank you for writing in. Hopefully, we could talk about something else when you do write in, Rebecca. All right. Thank you. All right. Yeah. Also, we have some poll results. We got some poll results from the last episode. And it's funny that you guys were voting in the polls. And I completely forgot to even mention the poll on the last episode, but some of you guys went to thespanreport.com and you voted in the poll. Okay, hold on a second. I don't know why this is taking so long to load. Okay, the poll was, do you think Glenn from The Walking Dead is dead? Now, I know we did the skit last week where I called Glenn Pock, Glenn Avelli, if you will. on The Walking Dead, we had that whole thing about whether or not Glenn was dead. And the poll results are in. And 53.3% of you guys say no, the zombies were eating Nicholas, not Glenn. All right. It was pretty overwhelming. 53% of y'all say that Glenn's not dead. 26.6% say Glenn is as dead as those damn walkers. I'm in that group, man. I think Glenn is dead. I think he's we're going to see Glenn as either a zombie or we're just going to see Glenn in flashbacks. I don't think we're going to see Glenn in much the same way that we known him. And 20% of you guys say, man, Glenn is in Cuba with Asada Shakur chilling. So, yeah, man. Thank you guys for voting in the poll. And, yeah, I think you, yeah, man, no comments on that particular, poll, but thank you for voting in that poll. And we got some emails to go through. So let me go through these, let me sign into this email so we can read these emails and I can respond to these. And the first email I got is from, let's see, we got email from Desmond. And my computer's running really slow. Jesus Christ. All right, now Desmond writes in to say, hello, my name is Desmond. I live on the west side of Detroit, and I'm 18, and I attend Baker College of Owosso. And I wanted to know, I've been looking at articles about black men being kings, but no one says how, because I really want to be a black king and learn those ways to be a driving force in my community back in Detroit. Okay, Desmond, here's the thing. I would say that, and I don't want to discourage being a king, right? I don't want to discourage that. But what I would say to you is to focus more on just being a good dude, man. Be a good guy. Be a good man. Be a forthright individual. Be someone that people can depend on. When you say something, mean it. And if you really want to be involved, do it from a place of sincere concern. And not so much because you think that you're going to get that pat on the back. I hate to kind of like simplify it in such a way, but I think that just being a good guy in the sense of being dependable, being honest, being forthright, those are some of the most important aspects of manhood that I think you you could possess, right? So I think instead of focusing so much on the whole kingdom or being a king, I think you should just focus more so on being a good guy, man. Being a good black man and being an example for those around you to be a good black man, not necessarily falling into the whole stereotypes of you know, how you wear your clothes and things like that, where people talk about you sagging your pants or you listening to that goddamn booga booga music or whatever else. Don't even worry about that. Be a good upstanding young man. Get involved in your community in much the same way that you said you want to be back in the community and give back to Detroit. Do that, but do it from a sincere place and do it from an honest place, not looking for that pat on the back. Do it because it's something you think that really needs to be done. But first and foremost, be a good guy. Be an honest to goodness, good dude, and a lot of that stuff will fall into place, young brother. So, yeah, Desmond, I appreciate you writing in. I know you sent this email quite a while ago, and for whatever reason, I didn't get it, but it's coming through now, I see. But, yeah, Desmond, thank you for writing into the show, and I appreciate you listening to the Spare Report, brother. Hope to hear from you again soon. Real talk, man. The next email that we got, this is from Zeke. And Zeke writes in to say, let me begin by saying I haven't been listening to your show that long. I just only recently became aware of you via the comment section of Dr. Boyce Watkins' video takedown of that awful show that goes by the name of Empire. Although I pretty much don't agree with your assessment, I can say that you at least seem to come across as a person who has given the aspects of black portrayals in movies and television some thought. So I just like to challenge you to find any positive black portrayals of black people. Okay. Black men in particular on any media. We are always portrayed as mentally ill, sexually confused, weak, docile giants, or flat out criminals. White men seem to have a lock on the idea of just having their shit together. And to see this constantly has to have an effect even on a subconscious level. Can you do it? Well, just off the top of my head, Zeke, I could think of the character of Dre on Black-ish. Dre is an ad executive. His wife is a doctor. Their kids go to a private school where they have to pay tuition. And he teaches his kids life lessons throughout the week. I mean, like, they had the whole thing with, I know it was a couple episodes ago where they talked about the use of the word nigger. And they did it in a real smart way, right? He's one of the first characters that I think about when we have these kind of discussions, because ironically, this seems to not want to die, right? This idea of black portrayals on that in popular culture or whatever else. One of the things that I think kind of gets misconstrued, though, is I think black people, or especially, you know, and I'm not trying to be like disrespectful or anything, see, but I think people who think like you tend to ignore some of the nuance in the characters of some of these other white popular shows, right? So one of the white popular shows that I think of is Sons of Anarchy, and that show is all about drug dealing, sex, violence, murder, kidnapping. That shit goes on at all the time on Sons of Anarchy, but we don't talk about that. The Sopranos, the same thing, very popular show with a white primarily cast. Sex, drugs, murder, organized crime, kidnapping, all the way through that show. You think about another show, Mad Men, which is, you know, pretty much an old back to a time where being a sexist pig was pretty much the normal thing to be, right? That, yeah, they wore suits and they looked good, but yeah, they were pretty much assholes when it came to women, right? And that's one of the more popular shows that were on television. Another show that I think we kind of overlook would be Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad had Walt being he was a chemistry teacher who turned drug dealer to kind of set his family up, but he really became a drug overlord, so to speak. He really became a criminal mastermind during the course of that show. And that was a popular white show. And I don't think that we can ignore that, or we can act as if those don't count because they go counter to this argument that black people are always, as you would say, sexually confused, mentally ill, weak, docile giants, or flat out criminals. I think we see a lot of that in pop culture, period. Right? That's what I think. Now, one of the things I want to talk to you about, especially when you talk about some of these issues that you have as far as black characters are concerned, well, you say we are portrayed as mentally ill. We have to get this understanding that, yes, there are black people who are suffering from mental illness. So because we are because it's on a television show or a drama or wherever else, we're supposed to act as if that doesn't happen within the black community. Yo, we got some people who are dealing with mental illness in our community. That happens, brother. That happens. You talk about sexually confused. I think you may be trying to say to talk about gay people, but yo, there are gay people in the black community as well. And I don't think they're all sexually confused. I think they pretty much know where they want and know who they are and know exactly how they want to be. I don't think they're confused at all. And that isn't, again, that isn't a monopoly that black people have on being sexually confused, as you want to put it, right? We don't have that monopoly. That happens in all communities, right? You talk about being weak, docile giants. Well, I do agree with you when we talk about like the white savior movies where we got like the Blind Side and Dangerous Minds and Hardball and movies like that where these white people come into the neighborhoods and they teach these black kids or these Latino kids the way, and all they got to do is give them some love and then all of a sudden they blossom and everything else there. I get that. That's a genre of movies that I kind of turn a side eye to, too. But at the same time, I think we have to understand that just because the portrayal of black people in certain pop culture movies or TV shows or whatever, just because you have those doesn't mean that that's all there is to black people. I think it gives us a humanity that we've been asking for. we aren't perfect people. And I think that's what a lot of y'all who kind of shit on Empire and Scandal and Blackish and Power and all these shows that got primarily black casts, we nitpick our own shit to the 10th power. And these shows show us multiple different ways in which black people are dealing with issues. And much the same way white people get to deal with issues. Only white people ain't sitting up talking about, hey man, how come they gotta be gay, a gay character in this show? Hey man, how come this dude is dealing with mental illness? It's crazy people or mentally ill people. Let's not call them crazy. There are mentally ill people in every dynamic, in every demographic you have. And we can't continuously think about it in a way where we look at it as if it's a negative. You know what I mean? And to a large degree, I've said this many a time before, so many of y'all are buying into this respectability politics. Now, I know the term may be new to a lot of y'all, but the idea of respectability politics isn't new. And one of the things I think about when I think about like respectability politics and how it was performed in pop culture. You guys remember the movie Soldier Story? And the character of Sergeant Waters? Sergeant Waters was somebody who was a tortured human being who wanted the best for black people, but had a really twisted way of looking at black people and how they were being looked at by others. So I'm going to play this for you. I'm going to play this for you because I think this is kind of apropos to a lot of the attitudes that a lot of you guys have when it comes to disrespectability politics and how we're portrayed in the media and how we're looked at by other races.
They're talking about giving you 5 years. They call what you did mutiny, boy.
That car ain't mine.
We know that, CJ. We changed the charge on you this morning. You in here for striking a superior officer, boy. And everybody seen it, too.
Why are you doing this to me, sir?
Oh, don't feel too bad, CJ. Has to be this way. You see, the first war didn't change nothing for the Negro. But this one, gonna change everything. Them Nazis ain't all crazy. Whole lot of people just can't seem to fit into where things seem to be going. Like you, CJ. See, the black race can't afford you no more. Oh, there used to be a time we'd see somebody like you singing, clowning, yassa bossing, and we wouldn't do anything. Folks like that. You were good. Homie kind of nigga. When they needed somebody to mistreat, call a name or two, they paraded you. Reminded them of the good old days. Not no more. The day of the Geechee is gone, boy. And you going with it. We can't let nobody go on believing we all fools like you. Waited a long time for you, boy. But I got you. I put two Geechees in jail in Camp Campbell, Kentucky. Three in Fort Huachuca. Now I got you. One less fool for the race to be ashamed of.
All right. That's how a lot of y'all sound. That's how a lot of y'all sound. I'm going to start calling y'all Sergeant Waters kind of niggas. And again, Zeke, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to you, man, but it's getting to a point, man, where the constant criticism of from our own when it comes to black shows on TV or the black movies or whatever else is getting to a point where it's like, all right, man, we get it. Y'all don't like it. Change the channel. Change the channel, dude. You don't have to sit up all the time moping about this popular show that other black people, that other black people seem to like, where you feel like, you know, you being revolutionary and saying, hey, I don't like these shows and these shows do X, Y, and Z to the image of black people. I think when we get to a point where black people can be just as human as white people on popular culture or in popular culture or in how we're portrayed in the media, then damn it, that's some form of equality. And at the same time, when you start talking about not watching shows that have primarily black casts, that have black creative directors who create these shows, then you taking money out of the same, you taking money out of the pockets of the same people you saying you want to help, right? You talk about black empowerment and all this other stuff, black economic empowerment and everything else, but then when you have people who are actively out here doing it, and you say, hey, I don't like how this looks, I'm going to take money out of their pocket and I'm going to tell everybody not to watch their shit. You're pretty much being a thorn in the side of your own people. But you think you're helping. So, yeah, Zeke, man, I appreciate the email. We disagree, but I appreciate the email and I hope to hear from you again soon, man. Real talk. Thank you for writing in. And the last email I got was from the homie Reggie. And Reggie writes in to say, my nigga Span, use the goddamn fool for that Glenn Pock shit, bro. I think the guy is still alive, but you got a point with all of the theories being on the level of Pock being... You got a point with all of the theories being on the level of Pock back in the day. My only question to you would be, what you going to do when you find out that Glenn ain't dead, though? If Glenn isn't dead, I'm going to be surprised, right? If Glenn isn't dead, I'm going to be surprised. But I think if they don't kill Glenn now, to me, it kind of like cuts at some of the credibility. And in much the same way that like everybody knows that nobody on this show should really be safe. And everybody can kind of get it, right? And so if Glenn isn't dead, if they find a way to get Glenn out of that particular situation and we see Glenn just walking around, he's back with Maggie and everything else, then, you know, I'm going to kind of start giving the show a little bit of the side eye. Much the same way I gave Scandal the side eye when I kind of stopped watching Scandal. And much the same way where I kind of stopped watching How to Get Away with Murder. Some the shows kind of jumped the shark. You know, I stopped watching Sons of Anarchy. I'm sorry, it wasn't How to Get Away with Murder. It was Sons of Anarchy when Jax's son got kidnapped and they take him to Ireland and they go over to Ireland. The whole goddamn motorcycle gang go over to Ireland. It's like, dude, they from California and their motorcycle gang. What the fuck? You know, it's like this show started jumping the shark. And so if they find a way for Glenn to come out of that situation, I believe that they probably jumped the shark. And I'm just, you know, as much as I love the show, I'd be like, all right, man. All right. Another thing I wanted to give you props on is how you kind of broke down why so many black dudes went out of their way to talk about how that young lady deserved to get tossed around. I agree that it's way too many of us walking around calling ourselves men while actually being neutered punks. I didn't always see it that way, but this show has definitely given me something to think about. Good show, dude. Well, you know, again, that's how I think about it. You know what I mean? Like, and it was, again, disheartening to see so many brothers sit around talking about how a young black girl deserved, being brutalized at the hands of a white individual and not feel some sort of way about it. One of the things that I saw over the course of this week was a video of a father from that particular district, and he was addressing that school district, and he was very passionate in how he felt about what happened to her and what had that been his daughter, or whether or not the school district is actually, or whether or not South Carolina is actually looking for black men to stand up and do something about some of these things, because at some point it will get past the point of talking for a lot of brothers. It will get past the point of talking. But for so many brothers to be sitting around justifying what happened to her, that's what I found disheartening, man, and disappointing and everything else. But it's something that I believe it's one of those things where people have to come to their realizations in their own time. As much as I want them to come into that realization now, it's going to be one of those things where people are going to come into that realization in their own time. So hopefully more brothers are coming into that realization sooner. Right. But that's my hope, brother. But thank you again, Reddies, for writing into the show. I know you're a pretty regular listener, and I hope to hear from you again soon, brother. Real talk. But yeah, man, it's getting to the close of the show. And so before I get out of here, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spirit Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. You can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages and I will play those messages here on the show. And of course, I will respond in kind. You can also email the show at feedback@thespirinreport.com. That's feedback@thespirinreport.com. Leave me those emails. And of course, I'll read your emails and reply to those emails live here on the show. You can also follow your man here on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms, of course, is Mr_Span. That's Mr_Span for Twitter and Instagram. And you can also go to the Facebook fan page. That's Mr. Span on the Facebook. Like the fan page, man. Like the fan page. Right? Send me an Asshat of the Week submission, man. Send me an Asshat of the Week. We got two so far every week the last 2 weeks. So that's four people in the last 2 weeks. So give me those Asshat of the Week submissions, man. Asshat@thespinreport.com. Send those to me there. Also, an iTunes and or Stitcher review would be very much appreciated. Right? It'd be very much appreciated. Preferably 5 stars. Those 5-star reviews will be read here on the show, and I will thank you right here on the show. And of course, for all of your Spare Report needs, go to www.thespareport.com. Watch this episode, listen to this episode, vote in the polls, leave comments. Everything Spare Report related is right there at thespareport.com. Check that out if you need anything Spare Report related. Yeah, man, I got to get out of here. It's time for me to go. But thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for watching. And until next time, fam. Peace.